Father, thank you, Lord, this morning and afternoon for our gathering here as we fellowship around the Word of God, encouraging one another, both speaker and listeners. Let us all be blessed, and everyone else that will share later on, let them all be inspired by the Lord to share according to the mind of the Lord, that all may be blessed and edified, and the Lord may be glorified. Now, the entrance of your word, Lord, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare that even on here this morning, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Today is, you know, part of our Overcome series. And the lesson today is for us to overcome stagnation and slumber. And God promised us, he gave us a word that we will emerge, and he wants us to go forward. So we started this particular topic yesterday. Powerful, powerful shares that went even after the main lesson was delivered. And I want to just, you know, read a few more scriptures, say a few more things to round it up today. And after we're done with that, we will also, you know, share our thoughts on this lesson and others in the series. Praise the Lord. First scripture that I want to read today will be taken from Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to consider what the Lord said to the children of Israel. Let's pick up this story. You know, the story of the children of Israel, everybody knows it well. They came out of Egypt and so forth. And, you know, they were, you know, in this place around Mount Horeb for a while, you know. And here's what the Lord said unto them in verse 6. He said, you know, to them, the Lord our God, Deuteronomy 1 and verse 6. Speak unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn ye and take your journey. And go to the mount of the Amorites and to all the high places. I mean, the places nigh unto, in the plain, in the hills, in the valley, in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon and unto the great river, even the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. You know, so even the Lord himself, we can see here, did not like people to just sit around in the same place. You have been in this mountain for too long. I've been on this place for too long. It's time for you to go forward and get into the blessing that I have reserved for you. So that's our first scripture this morning to piggyback on the lesson that we were talking about yesterday. You're going to have to listen to the replays if you missed that. Have to listen to the replay to get all of that. Many more scriptures, some of them we gave yesterday, some also I wanted to share. And part of the lesson yesterday was to encourage us, you know, not only about, you know, going forward and so forth, but also that we must, you know, we must be diligent and do, you know, the things that we need to do when we need to do them. You know, in other words, no procrastination, no folding of the arms, you know, just doing and moving in the power of the Lord. Some scriptures were shared yesterday. I want to read some of them again. We even talked about, you know, checking out the ant, how the ant knows how to provide meat for herself, you know, and it is just diligent, gathers her meat in summer, so that even in the winter, you know, she has food, even though she may not be able to go out and gather the food at that time. Make preparation. And we talked about several things about not looking to say, well, you know, I'm just going to delay it and do it next time. Procrastination can also bring stagnation. And many people shared stories, examples, questions and answers were, you know, given. But let's read, you know, a few more scriptures. You know, some of it was shared yesterday. And talk about, you know, giving us encouragement and instruction at the same time. What to do, how to move, and not allow ourselves to be overtaken with slumber. Hallelujah. Now, you know, if scripture says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, you know, anyone that is, you know, doing their business with a slack hand, there, well, might become poor. You know, that's what the scripture says. Proverbs 10 and 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. That's right. So if you're dealing with a slack hand, you know, is somebody that will not get in there and do what they need to do, just delay, slothful, and so forth. Well, even the scriptures in the New Testament says to not be slothful, you know, not be slothful. Get in there and do what you need to do when you need to do it, you know. And there are many things that in the Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, the writer calls out against slothfulness. You know, slothfulness, many things he calls out against slothfulness. There are many, many scriptures. That's one of them. Slothfulness is the same thing as dealing with a slack hand. Well, what about this one in Proverbs 12 and 27? The slothful man roasted not that which he took in hunting. In other words, he did half of the job and then he left the rest unfinished. He went out to hunt. He got an animal and then came in the house and he's slothful and he won't even roast it and so forth and put it somewhere. Well, I'll do that again later or something. I'll get to it later. The slothful man will not roast that which he even took in hunting. You know, but the substance of the righteous man is precious. You know, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4, the soul of the slothful, you can call him a lazy person, you know, desire something, but they won't have it because they don't know how to go about being diligent. So for them, it will just be wishful thinking. The soul of the sluggard desireth and had nothing. But the soul of the righteous, you know, shall be made fat. There are many scriptures that encourage us not to be slothful, not to be like the sluggard. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29 tells you what will happen to a person that is diligent. You know, it says, seest thou a man, this is Proverbs 22, and 29, seest thou a man that is diligent in his ways or his business? Well, mark that man, because he shall stand before kings and he shall not stand before mean men. Praise the Lord. You know, so these are some scriptures to encourage us quicken our pace. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 24. Some of these scriptures were shared, in the room yesterday. And let's strengthen our hands from these things. You know, even this man, he said, look, I observed the way of the slothful and the sluggard. And he said, well, you know, it wasn't well with them at all. Things were, you know, the things around them were not working like they should be, you know. And everything that he saw around the sluggard, you know, was turned into ruins instead of flourishing. Why? Because, well, he was slothful. So let's read Proverbs 24 and pick it up at verse 30. Is the Lord. Again, just admonitions to watch out against slothfulness. I went by the field of the slothful, he said, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Nestles are covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. But he wouldn't even fix it. He wouldn't get up. He's too lazy to get up and clean up these things. And he had a good field to start with, but because of dealing with a slack hand and dealing with a slothful hand, his field became grown over with weeds. The wall was broken and he wouldn't do anything about it. He said, look, I looked and I considered it well. You know, then I received instruction. Ah, instruction. What is instruction? Well, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. So do not give sleep, he said. You know, he concluded these things. Don't give sleep to your eyelids. You know, get up and do something. You know, I mean, sleep is good, you know, if it is done in moderation for the time we need. But the sleep of the slothful is the one that makes them to turn upon their bed, you know, like hinges, and they won't even get up. He says, look, we need to get up and do what we need to do. And these are just wisdom and encouragement from us, from the Lord to us, to do what we need to do, not to be slothful, not to fold the arms, you know, and so forth, you know, but get up and do what you need to do. Praise the Lord. Now, the slothful man and the one that is lazy may also say, well, there is a lion in the street, so I can't go out today. I'll find some excuse, the scripture says, to not do anything when they should do it. And because they don't do the right thing when they should do it, then they will actually be, you know, might become poor and backward, you know. But the prudent man, he will do the right thing when he needs to do. Proverbs 26 and 13, the slothful man says there is a lion in the streets. And so because of that, I'm not going anywhere today. He didn't even say the fearful man, you know. If he had said the fearful man, I mean, generally people are afraid of facing a lion. But this one was a slothful man, you know, so it seems to me like he actually made it up. He made it up, found some excuse to not go out and do what he needs to do. And then he made that up. And the end of that man, you know, mark the end of that man. It is not good, you know, if he's lazy, but mark the end of the diligent. He will stand before kings. You will not stand before mean men at all. In other words, promotion will come his way. Praise the Lord. Promotion will come his way. Now, how do we compare our own situation with some of these lessons that we are reading? Well, you know, check out yourself. Scripture say, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Well, check out yourself, you know. Are you being diligent in your ways? You know, let's come against that spirit of slothfulness. We don't want to be like a sluggard, you know. I mean, you know, but we want to be like the diligent, you know, someone that will look diligently to his business and take care of his affairs on time. You know, the same thing also, even in spiritual things, you know, sometimes we allow, you know, laziness to creep in. And we won't get up and do for the Lord something that he wants us to do, you know, because we are, you know, spiritually slothful. And the scripture says, you know, let us not be like that. You know, be not slothful, he says, in business. You know, the, you know, when we, you know, when we, do in, you know, follow instruction diligently and do the things that the Lord said we should do on time, as he says we should do them, then there is a blessing, you know, that comes to the Lord. I mean, comes from the Lord to us, you know, but let's be sure that the spirit of, you know, sluggishness and slothfulness does not overtake us or come our way. Put away slothfulness from your borders. Put away slothfulness from your borders. Put on diligence. Ah. I can't say or stress this enough, you know, but when you are diligent, the Lord will instruct you and give you, even more strategy. The slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, Proverbs 26 and 15. And it grieves him to even bring it out again to his mouth. Can you imagine that? I mean, all the things that this man said about someone that is slothful, you know, he's slothful. I mean, he will put his hand in his bosom. He can't even bring it out to do something. You know, that's not a good thing. That's not a good place to be. Praise the Lord. Jesus himself, he gave a lesson. You know, a lesson that he gave in John chapter 15. Well, let's read it. It affects spiritual things, affects even material things. You know, it's a complete lesson that he talks about. You know, but sometimes we look at it only for the spiritual. It is good for the spiritual, but it's also everything. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. See? So, the person that is not producing, he said he would take away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he will purge it so that he may bring forth more fruit. Well, in this particular case, the one that is not bearing fruit, it's not that they are doing something wrong. It's that they are not doing. You know, not doing anything. It's not bearing fruit. So, in this case, the condemnation is against not doing. It's not exactly against doing something wrong. It is against not doing. You know, just being passive and doing nothing. You know, I say, well, you know, that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Even so, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and he in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, our lives can be fruitful only if we abide in the Lord, and abide in his word, and let the Holy Spirit guide us. Then our lives can be fruitful. Now, he said, well, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same, you know, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So when we are in the Lord, we will be able to produce fruit. When we are, you know, not abiding in him, we spiral down into this lack of you know, production, you know, in a state of not producing anything. Now, and the man says, look, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, so being in the Lord, abiding in him, causes us to be more fruitful. And fruitfulness cover every aspect of our life. You know, when the Lord said to Adam in the beginning, be fruitful and multiply, was he just talking about spiritual things only? Of course not. I mean, at that time, I don't even know that Adam knew, you know, anything about the gospel, you know. But, you know, the Lord said to him, be fruitful and multiply. Those were the first words that came out of the Lord's mouth concerning the man. And so today our lives must be fruitful. If our lives are not fruitful, then we are being stagnant. We're not producing. And the person that is not producing may be cut off. That's what Jesus is saying here. Yesterday it was said in the room that, look, the stagnant water eventually breeds all kinds of things, you know, algae and so on, and it begins to have a stench because it's not moving, it's not flowing, it's just stagnant. And, you know, even when, you know, when a source of river flows into a place and it becomes a lake rather than it doesn't have an outlet, and then it just eventually, after a while, it'll begin to breed all kinds of, you know, things that are not right. But when they're flowing, when it is flowing, the water is clean, it's moving, it's flowing, it's producing something, you know. And, you know, those dead places, they can't even produce, not even, you know, the fishes and so forth can't even survive there. They stink and they die. You know, because there's no action, there's no movement, there's no production. They're just stagnant. Now, nobody likes, you know, if we really look at it, I mean, parents that have a child today, and they're looking at that child in 6 months, there is no improvement, there's no growth. And 9 months, same thing. And a year, same thing. 2 years, the child still can't sit. They can't crawl. They can't talk. They can't do anything. I mean, what do you think will happen? The parents will realize that they have a stunted growth child. And it's a problem. Nobody wants that. And same thing, you know, in our lives, whether spiritually or materially and so forth. We must increase. We must increase. We read this scripture yesterday, Psalm 115 and verse 14, that says, the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. You know, the Lord will increase you. So you got to be increased. Praise the Lord. Increased. You know, you can't stay in one spot and just be the same. You got to increase. So we're talking against stagnation and slumber. Slumber is one of the reasons that stagnation happens. Folding the arms and not doing the right thing. Putting the hands into the bosom and not bringing the hands out to walk. You know, those are the things that may bring stagnation. But the Lord has promised us that we will emerge, and we got to cooperate, you know, with the saying of the Lord. You know, we got to emerge and then go forward. You know, don't stand still. Praise the Lord. We must go forward. Now, here are a few more scriptures, you know, that we want to consider. You know, the how that the Lord has promised that when you are going forward, He will also help you forward. You know, sometimes you're trying to go forward, but the way is difficult. The way is crooked. The way is not smooth. I mean, there are all kinds of difficulties. Well, the Lord has, you know, a word and a formula for that as well. I mean, he says here in Isaiah chapter 45, how that the Lord will help you. Once you are moving, it will also help you and make your way to be straight. Make the rough places to be plain, smooth things out, cause you to go straight rather than meandering all over the place, you know, and get you to where you should be going quicker. You know, we talked about the shortest distance between two points. It's a straight line. We don't want to be going in a crooked path. So here's the word the Lord says about that. I will go before you, Isaiah 45 and verse 2, and I will make the crooked places straight. I will also break in pieces the gates of brass that I may be trying to hold you back from going through. Once you are in motion, the Lord said, I will keep you in motion. You know that, you know, even the, you know, those of you who have done physics, maybe when you are, you know, younger in life, or some young folks that are doing physics now, we learned about the laws of inertia, they call it. You know, a body that is in motion tends to remain in motion. Or continues to be in motion. But a body at rest tends to also remain at rest. Even the laws of science. When you are moving, you know, there is an impetus for you to continue to move. But when you are standing still, then you continue to stand still. You know, so the laws of physics will even tell you that. You are in motion. It's a tendency that you keep moving. When you are standing still, and there's a tendency that you stand still, you know, body at rest, you know, the laws of motion, Isaac Newton, I mean, and so forth. The people come out with these things and they proved it scientifically, you know. So that way they proved it is when you are, I mean, simple things like that. I remember when I was in high school doing science and trying to prove all these things many, many years ago, longer than I can even remember. You know, but we did experiments to prove these things, you know, and you know, you find that today these laws are all around us, but we don't even realize it. When you're driving in your car and you're going at a reasonable speed or even a high speed and you suddenly slam on the brakes, and this is why they have restraints. They have seat belts and so forth, you know, to restrain you. That, you know, when the motion suddenly comes to a stop, an abrupt stop, even the object has a tendency to keep moving forward in that motion. You know, so the body or the torso or the head might launch forward when the car brakes suddenly. That's why they have the seatbelt. Otherwise, you crash on the windscreen, I mean, or crash on the steering. You know, these are laws of physics. When you are moving, you are moving. Right? When you are, you know, stationary, you are stationary. You tend to be stationary. You know, and some people even say, I've heard it said that, look, it is easier to move or steer a car that is already moving. You know, back in the day before they had this electronic steerings they have today that's so easy to turn with even one little finger. Yeah, in the day, back in those days, it was harder to steer the cars. But when you move the car a little bit and you're trying to turn the wheels, it was easier rather than trying to turn the wheel when it was stationary. So when you are moving, it's easier to move. You know, it's easier to navigate when you're moving. If you're standing still, it's more difficult. So let's move. Let's keep moving. Praise the Lord. Let's not stand still. And yesterday I talked about relative motion. You know, two objects that are moving together, when one of them suddenly stops and the other one keeps moving, it's like the one that stopped has actually moved backward. Even though they didn't go backward, they all stopped. All they did was stop. But relatively speaking, you know, it now looks as if the other one that stopped has moved backward because this one kept moving. You know, so now it looks as if that other one moved backward, but they didn't really move backward, you know. They just stopped. In fact, if you're driving and you look in your rear view mirror, you know, and you're looking at some building, and as you keep going, the building that you see there looks like if it is moving backwards, but it's not moving backwards. You're stationary. You're the one that's moving forward. Because you are moving forward, the one thing that's in your view that is stagnant looks like it's actually moving backwards. So, you know, this stagnation is a serious thing that actually has the effect of moving us backward. You know, because the train is moving, so you better get with the program. And if you don't, then the effect is actually like you've moved backward. You know, so, but God wants us to move forward. Praise the Lord. Look at all the promises that the Lord gives us here. Isaiah 48. It talks about, you know, verse 17 is similar to, I gave a scripture yesterday in Deuteronomy 8 and 18, where I said, remember the Lord thy God, it is he that giveth thee power to get well. You know, one of the scriptures. And this one also is similar. The Lord said, look, I will teach you how to profit. You know, the Lord will be the one that will teach it to you. Now let's consider these two scriptures together. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 and Isaiah 48 and 17. Let's consider them together. Well, Deuteronomy says, remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, if you consider that scripture carefully, what it did not say is that the Lord thy God is he that giveth thee wealth. That's not what he said. But he said, the Lord thy God is he that giveth thee power. So it's enabling. It gives you enablement. It gives you strategy. It enables you. But you're going to have to do something about it. You know, now consider Isaiah 48 and verse 17. What does he say? Well, something very similar. You know, he said, the Lord is he that will teach you, you know, how to profit. So the Lord is actually putting you to work, giving you how to do it, but you must do it. It's kind of like, you know, the Lord told Noah that the rain was coming and it would destroy the world. But Noah is going to have to build the ark. You know, the Lord will show him where to get the wood and give him the skills and show him how to find help. But he's going to have to build the ark. The Lord didn't build the ark. The Lord gave him the wood, but he has to build the ark. It's been said that God doesn't make furniture. Did you know it? God doesn't make furniture, but he makes timber. And then people have to go in there, cut down that timber, fashion it and so forth, and make beautiful furniture out of it. God didn't make the furniture, but God, he made the resources. You know, so, but it requires us to get in there and do something about it. And it's kind of like this story. I mean, I've told this story multiple times, and there are several instances of it throughout the Gospels where Jesus, you know, fed the disciples. I mean, fed the multitudes and so forth. You know, 2 loaves, 5 fishes, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 5,000, 7,000, 4,000, whatever. But each of those stories, no matter which way you read it, it wasn't really Jesus that fed the multitude. It was not Jesus at all. It was the disciples. Jesus only took the little boy's lunch. Let's just consider that one example. Blessed it, gave it back into the hands of the apostles, and he walked away. He was done. Jesus didn't feed the disciples. I mean, didn't feed the multitude at all. You know, but Jesus put into their hands how to feed the multitude and even gave them instruction. Set them over here in 50s, this and that and so forth. And then you go give to them. He told them, give them to eat. And they said, well, where are we going to find food to feed all these people? Say, well, what do you have? Well, you bring what you have to the Lord. He puts a blessing on it and he puts it back into your hands. That's how it works. He's not going to do it himself. He could, but he wants you to engage. That's how it works. And you know, these people, these disciples, believe it or not, they were actually partners with Christ in working that miracle of creation and continuous supply. Now, the bread and the fishes did not actually multiply in the hands of Jesus. It didn't. If you thought that before, think again. All Jesus did was just break the bread. He put a blessing on it and break it and put it back in their hands. Now, as I've said before, and I'll say it again, it is very easy and anybody can do it. You can do it. I can do it. You don't need supernatural power to break a piece of bread into 12 pieces. It's easy. Just cut it. The real blessing of multiplication and continuous supply until there was no more need happened in the hands of the disciples. Not exactly in Jesus' hands. He did his own part. Put a blessing on him, put it back in their hands, and walked away. He was done. Now, so the same thing is what these scriptures are saying. The Lord will teach you. Now, he's not the one that's going to do it for you, but he will teach you how to profit. He will teach you, give you the power to get wealth. But you're going to have to get the wealth. But he will give you the power to do it. You're going to have to profit, but he'll teach you the wisdom and the strategy on how to do it. Now, but the sluggard will not do anything. They'll just fold their arms. The Lord will teach it to them. They'll fold their arms. They'll do nothing. Therefore, they will be in want. You know, so, and we don't want that. The Lord will show you, he will give you strategy. And listen, you know, it's a big lesson there. Bring it to the Lord. Bring your plans, bring your things, you know, and let, you know, the Lord will put a blessing and but he'll put it right back into your hands. You know, and look, even in Luke chapter 5, we see that Peter was out fishing all night, caught nothing, you know, and he packed in his nets and so on and so forth. They washed out their nets, they packed it in and so forth. And then when Jesus came on the scene, in order to bless Peter, Jesus told Peter something, do it again. You know, there's always the doing part that the Lord wants us to do. You know, you know, say, look, launch out into the deep. Go back out there. Peter said, well, I already done that. Been there, done that. I said, no, go back out there and do it again. Hallelujah. So, you know, but this time I'm going to show you which side to cast your net in at, you know, over there on this side, not that side, but this side, you know, and so forth. But you got to launch out into the deep and do it. You know, and so, and Peter realized that, look, this is the master. I better do as he says. You know, another time Jesus was asked about paying taxes and so forth. They asked his master, Peter, does your master not pay taxes? Well, Jesus made an argument and said, well, who should be paying taxes? The children of the land or the foreigners? Well, he got an answer. I said, well, then the children are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, you know, let's pay taxes. But how did Jesus pay the tax? He made Peter do some work for it. You know, I mean, this, we're talking about Jesus here. I mean, this is the master. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. I mean, he could have just snapped his finger and handed Peter the coin and go do it. No, he did no such thing, you know. He did no such thing at all, you know. In fact, what he did was he made Peter do a lot of work to go get that coin. He said, look, you know, here's what you're going to do. Go to the lake and cast in your hook, and the first fish you catch, open its mouth, you'll find a coin, and go and pay for us. Now, you know, that may seem simple, but it's a lot that Peter had to do. You know, because Peter wasn't hauling his fishing gear around. He's already stashed it when Jesus called him. So he had to go get it. Maybe he had already given it away. He had to go find it or borrow or buy another or whatever. He had to go to his house. We don't know how far he was from his house when Jesus gave him that instruction. He had to go get the fishing gear. There's a lot of things he had to do, you know, and then go get, you know, everything together, you know, put in the bait, do all of these things and so forth, cast the hook in and all that. You know, he had to do a lot of stuff, you know. And while Peter is doing it, here's another lesson too. You know, this is part of the reason why the Lord makes you do stuff. Because, you know, the word of the Lord will be tried. And God wants the word to be tried and see how you are going to respond. So when he tells you to go do something, instead of just snapping his fingers and give it to you, there will be, you know, trial along the way. Because the devil will tell you, come on now, Peter. Whoever heard of such a thing? I mean, you're going to go down there and catch a fish and open his mouth and find a coin? Oh, now, look, you know, that's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, how do you know that you'll catch anything? You know, how do you know? You know, I mean, and even if you did catch, how do you know there's going to be a coin? I mean, how can in the world, you know, the devil will tell you all kinds of things when you are going to get that gear and go into that lake. There will be opportunity for the word of the Lord to be tried. That's why Jesus doesn't leave it out there just simple and just fall in there. In fact, the last time he made things too simple for them, look where it ended for them. When he was raining manna down for them, see what he did for them. He didn't make them any better. He didn't make them any better at all. You know, so he wants you to get up and get in the action and do something and partner with God in the business of creation, of creating wealth, you know. Someday I'll come back and deal with that. But there is a partnering that you must partner with God in everything. You know, God has told you the rain is coming to destroy the world, but you are going to have to build the ark. You know, Jesus has told you that the disciples, I mean, the multitudes need to be fed, and you know, but you are going to do the feeding. He's only going to put a blessing on it. And so on and so forth. Now, but the sluggard, he wouldn't do that. You know, and so he will not get the blessing. You know, I mean, how many of you can say, as you are here today, that you've had food in your hand multiplied to feed people, and you just were giving it out, and you will just continue to multiply? Can you say it? Well, you can. If you believe God, he can do it. You know. And one time a woman came, you know, to Elisha, the prophet, and said, look, the people have come, you know, the people we owe money and so forth. My husband, he was a man that loved the Lord, but he's gone now. And we don't have money. And they have come to collect and take my children away to slavery to pay for that debt. So what can I do? Help me. She cried out. Well, the prophet, you know, say, look, what do you have in the house? The word of the Lord is going to make the woman do something. You know, and the woman said, well, I have, thy servant had nothing except a pot of oil. That's, you know, the man of God said, it is enough. That's what I want you to do, though. Now he's going to give the word. He's going to give a strategy, and he's going to put a blessing on it. Here's what I want you to do. When you go home, do this and do this and do that. And again, listen, you got to follow the instruction. If you don't follow the instruction, it's not going to work. You know, so he said, look, you know, shut your door on you. Borrow vessels, not a few. Shut your door on you. Get the vessels, pour in. When one is full, set aside. Get another, pour it. When it's full, set aside. So he gave her exactly what to do. And she went and did exactly what the prophet said. But she had to do it. She had to send her son and say, look, you know, here's what the man of God said. You know, we have to go and borrow. Now, I don't know whether they did it willingly or not, but she had to convince them to go do it. Look, go to down the street, borrow vessels, parts from all our neighbors. Tell them you'll bring it back in a few days. You know, knock on every door. Get me as many parts as you can. These boys had to do something, you know. You can't just stay there. You got to do something. And when they went out, they brought, you know, the pot. And then she closed the door, just like she said, bring me a pot. She'd call, bring me a pot. She'd put it and pour it and put it aside. bring me another one. She'll pour and put it in the bosom. Bring me another one. And finally, there was no more to bring. And then the oil stayed. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful story. You know, and I've often said, and I believe it with all my heart, that if there kept being yet another pot, that oil would have kept running till this day. You know, it only stopped when there was no more to put into. And that's when it stopped. You know, but you they had to do all that work. They had to do it. They couldn't just fold their arms, you know. And so sometimes people pray, but we don't know how to do. And then we are stagnant, you know. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 7:7, verse 8, he said, look, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be given unto you. And I call it my ASK rule. A is for ask, S is for seek, and K is for knock. So it's even prophetic. Ask spells three different words. If you use it as an acronym, yes, it's a word by itself. You know, but there are three parts to it. When you are believing God for something, there are stuff that you must do. You know, you got to ask in prayer, believing. Matthew 21:22. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. But then you must do the seeking part as well. Asking, well, of course, even the prayer, you still have to do something. You have to still pray, you know. And then sometimes it's more than prayer. You pray, but then you have to do something about it. And it's kind of like, you know, looking for work and you just sit there praying. You're never going to find anything. You know, when you pray, Holy Spirit will give you strategy. He'll show you what to do. Then you got to go do it. The places where to go submit your application and so on and so forth. You know, and then there are times when you must, you know, also go and knock on a few doors. I mean, imagine, you know, if you lost something and you are trying to find it and you are not looking. And you just sit there in your room all day long praying that you will find it. You're not finding anything. You will pray and then you go look. And then the Holy Spirit will show you where it is. You know, so all of these, I say all of these to tell us that, look, it is so important for us to engage, you know, and do stuff and not just fold your arms and be like, you know, the sluggard. And that's not your portion. You will not be like the sluggard. You will not be like the lazy person that puts his hand in his bosom and will not even bring it again to his mouth. You know, that's not us. You know, we are people that are diligent in our business, and you must be diligent in your business. Now, there may be a spiritual, we talked about this in the room yesterday during the review session. You know, there may be a spiritual thing behind that. You know, when people just, you know, are stuck and they are not able to get ahead. You know, there may be something holding them back. But the Lord said, look, I will break the gates of, you know, gates of brass. Iron, bars of iron, the things that are holding you back, got you hemmed in. Lord said, I will break it. But after the Lord's broken it, you got to get out of there, you know, and you got to move forward and do something. Don't sit down there, you know, and just, you know, do nothing. You got to do something. Now, let's read a few more promises. In Isaiah chapter 54, you know, she's talking about God wanting us to increase and not be diminished or not even to be stagnant. Actually, if you're stagnant for too long, you will be diminished, you know. And the same thing with this, our body. If you don't get up and move the limbs and do all these things, you know, those functional parts of the body will start diminishing. If you don't exercise your muscles, you find that, you know, you start losing mass and so on. If you don't do these things, after a while, the thing would actually diminish. You know, so, but if you exercise your muscles, they'll grow. Praise the Lord. You know, so let's read Isaiah chapter 54. Here is a call for emerging. I mean, he said, the Lord will say it to you, but you know, let's see how he puts it. Sing, O barren, and thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing. Well, you know, that's praising the Lord. you know, cry aloud, you know, that is not travail with child. For more are the children, there's a blessing coming, but you praise the Lord for it. You know, children are desolate, more than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now listen to this. Enlarge the place of your tent. Now that's something you got to do. Now, that means instead of bringing a bucket, bring a barrel. You know, instead of bringing a barrel, bring a tanker to the ocean to take your fill. Enlarge your container. Hallelujah. You know, see more, get more. You know, that's what God told Abraham. We read that yesterday. All that you can see is what I will give you. You got to see more. You got to enlarge. Enlarge your vision. You know, and God will give you more. And God is able to feel it. Open your mouth wide, I will feel it, saith the Lord. He's able to feel it, but you know, how much, how much can you believe God for? You know, so let them stretch for the curtains of your habitations, you know, get some help, stretch the place, build it, enlarge it. You know, God will fill it with good things. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. You know, there's a lot about that. There's even investment and so on. There's a lot of things in this, couched in this one verse. But, you know, he said, look, you will break forth on the right. He said, for thou shalt. For is a conjunction. You know, you say something and then you put the for there and then you say something else. If you do the, you know, if you do all these things, then you are going to, the reason why you should do it is because you are going to, you will do these things and then you are going to break forth. You know, so you break forth on the right hand, you break forth on the left, you know, your seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and desolate places and so forth. You will not be ashamed. You will not be put to shame. I mean, the Lord will bless you. I mean, blessings, but stuff that you must do. Enlarge your tent. You know, stretch forth your, the place of your habitation. Do some things, you know, and believe God. See more to get more. You know, you got to be visionary too. Praise God. Now, listen to this. Let me move right along. I get excited when I talk about these things. Praise the Lord. You know, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 4 to 7. Now, you know this Isaiah, man. He has a lot of encouraging words. And I said it before. It's my go-to place. Isaiah and the Psalms. Those are my go-to places. And I'm looking for promises and different things, you know. I go to the book of Isaiah. Now, listen to what he says here. Isaiah chapter 60, that chapter talks about, you know, you arising and shining, you know, for the time for you to shine has come. He said, arise, shine, for thy light is come. But you got to arise, you know, praise God, you know. Now, the glory of the Lord, he said, is risen upon you. There may be darkness that will cover the whole earth and gross darkness all the people, but upon you, while the others are in darkness, you will be in the light. It's kind of Egypt and Goshen. And they will be in darkness, you will be in the light. The glory of the Lord will be seen upon thee. The Gentiles even shall come to thy light. And then all these kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, listen to this. Lift up thine eyes round about. Same thing he told Abraham. Come out here and look around you, and all the land that you can see to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south, will I give to you. Well, lift up your eyes round about, you know, and see all they gather themselves together. You know, say, look, they come to you. Even your sons come from afar, your daughters and so forth. Then shall thou see and flow together. Well, see, again, visionary. You got to see it to obtain it. John chapter 16 and verse 13 says, the Holy Spirit will help you to see it. Jesus said it himself. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. That's helping you to see it even before you get it. You see it. You must see it. See it in the eye of the Spirit. See it in a visionary way. But see it in order to get it. Now, the more you can see, the more I will give you. You got to be, think big, dream big, think big. The Lord will give it to you. Now, he said, look, you know, when you do this thing, he said, look, you will be enlarged. You know, your heart, you know, you will even be amazed. The fear here is a good fear. You will be wowed. You will be wowed is what he's saying here. you'll be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea that shall be converted unto you. The forces of the Gentiles that shall come unto you. Multitudes of camel shall cover you. Dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. And, you know, they come from Sheba. They'll bring gold and incense and show forth the praises of the Lord. The reason that they do all of these things is to show forth the praises of the Lord. The reason that God wants to bless you, prosper you, cause you to expand, to enlarge, and do all these things is to show forth the praises of the Lord that he might be glorified. That's all there is to it. You know, God is the one that to get the glory. Praise the Lord. God wants you to get the glory. Keep your mics muted, please. God wants you to get the glory. God wants to get the glory. Sorry. God wants to get the glory. And, but he's going to give you the blessing. The blessing that God gives you is to bring the glory to God. You know, that's it. You know, give you a blessing so that he might get the glory. Well, that means we must remember. Say, remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gave you the power to do it. So don't you ever forget it. And when the riches increase, don't set your heart upon them. Set your heart upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this. I love this in Isaiah chapter 62. I got to finish this today. I love this. Isaiah 62. Now, the Lord gives a good word here that if we will do well to listen to this promise that he gives here. Hallelujah. Let's read from verse 8 of Isaiah 62. Now, this whole Isaiah 62 is a great place. You know, this is where he talks about Hephzibah and Beulah. You will no more be turned forsaken, you know, and so on and so forth. You'll be chosen. You'll be married. The Lord will bless you, you know, and so on. But look at verse 8. He says, the Lord has sworn by his own right hand. The Lord doesn't need to swear anything. When he says he's good enough. But when he now goes and makes an oath, my goodness, you can take it to eternity. He has sworn by the right hand and the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. You know, the Midianites in the days of Gideon, they would let the children of Israel do all the threshing and all the labor and so forth. And then they come in there, beat them up, oppress them, and take it from their hands. And so the children of Israel were hiding all over the place, you know, but God said, no, the enemy will no more eat your corn for the which thou hast labored. But you who have gathered it, you will be the one to eat it. And praise the Lord. There's always praise. Behind everything that God does to bless you and prosper is that he may get the praise. When you eat of it, you will praise the Lord. You will eat in plenty. And you will praise the Lord. That's why Joel says that also. My people shall eat in plenty and they shall praise the Lord. My people shall never be ashamed. Joel chapter 2 verses 23 to 26 or even 27. Now he says, they that are brought it together shall drink of it in the courts of my holiness. Now listen to this. Go through in verse 10. Now, does that mean stand still? Absolutely not. Go through the gates. And the Lord opened the gates. You got to go through those gates. You got to go forward, you know. And so we are going through. And there are some carriers of the ark that must go through. We read that yesterday. When the feet of the priests touched the banks of the river and they put their feet in the river, the priests carrying the ark, then the river split. River Jordan, even though it was swelling at that time, it split into two. Yeah, well, there are some people that must bear the ark. And teachings and messages and such as this is bearing the ark. Going before you, you know, and showing that, look, we must go forward. We must bear that. And then we step into the place, the thing will split and the waters will open up. You know, but if we stand still, then it will still be River Jordan. If you stand still, it will be the Red Sea and all of these things. But you got to move forward. Lift up a standard for the people. That's what we are doing here. today and in this series, lifting up a standard for the people of the Lord to, you know, go through and be called the redeemed of the Lord and sought out and so forth. You know, some, you know, whereas you have been called forsaken before, you will now be called sought out. You will be the Lord's delight. The Lord delighted in you. Your name will be changed to Hephzibah and Beulah, because the Lord will now delight in you and you will be married again. Now, if you are believing God for that, that's a point blank promise. Believe it. Praise the Lord. Now, let me quickly finish off some of these promises here. We read yesterday already, Jeremiah 33 and 3. Say, call unto me, I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's always more to learn from the Lord. Don't, that just means don't rest on your oars. Whatever you think you have attained, you can attain even more. You know, same lesson that, John talks about, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. If you think, say, if any man thinks he knows anything yet, he knows not anything as he ought to know. So if you think that you found something, well, yeah, great. You know, but there's more. There's more where that came from. If you got a bucket full, there's more. You can bring a barrel next time. Yeah, next time you can even bring a tanker. There's more where it came from. The glory of the Lord shall be as the waters cover the sea. You can't finish it. Go get what you want. Come back. There's plenty more. You know, and but don't stay there and think you have arrived when you have not. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, you are not yet there, but he's changing you from glory to glory. And I believe that we will be soon. We're coming into our transformation and transfiguration series. My goodness, it'll be powerful. You know, that stuff is all spiritual, you know, and but here we are mixing up spiritual, physical, material, everything, you know, but there is something where spirit beings first and foremost, and there's something that God is trying to get us, it's a place that he's trying to do, but he's trying to settle you on all these things that trouble you, all the burdens and different things that Pharaoh put upon you so you won't have time for the Lord. The Lord is trying to deal with those things, and then you will be free, set at liberty to praise the Lord. Free at last. Free at last to praise the Lord and become more like him. Change from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. You know, we are being changed from glory to glory. That means you don't stay stagnant. There's always something going on. Some metamorphosis in the spirit that is going on in us even right now. We cannot remain stagnant. We cannot remain the same. Hallelujah. We got it, you know. And here is a call that Paul gave in the spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. You know, it's time to awake to righteousness. And he said, look, Christ shall give you light. Did you know that we've been talking about slumber? How it leads to, you know, losses and stuff like that. Even this one is talking about, you know, how spiritual slumber can lead eventually to deadness. It started out with slumber, but now at the end, you're actually dead. Awake, he said, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead. So a little sleep, eventually now they are dead. Can't even do anything, you know. But, you know, say, well, the Lord will come there. He will give you light. You know, so this encouragement is for us to awake, to stir ourselves up, you know. But here's Paul's testimony. In Philippians 3 and Philippians 4, let's read some of his testimonies real quickly. Philippians chapter 3. You know, from verses 12 to 14, he's talking about, look, you know, a lot of things that, you know, I've faced, but look, in all these things, you know, I can do all these things. I can do all these things. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what I face, what comes upon me from time to time. I know I can beat it. Praise the Lord. He said, look, but where I am, you know, I know that I'm still need to move forward. He said, look, I don't count myself to have attained, you know, so not as though I had already attained, Philippians 3:12. Neither were I already perfect, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. So I'm not here sitting on my, or resting on my oars and thinking that I'm there. No, I'm pushing forward. And I count not myself to have attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So I'm not going to stand still. I keep on pushing forward. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if you are, you know, spiritual, he said, you know, then do the same thing. And if you think contrarily, well, he prayed, he said, the Lord will show it unto you. But as many of you as are spiritual and have attained, follow the same rule. Mind the same things. Keep on pushing forward. Don't sit down in one place and think you have arrived. You know, we can keep on changing and changing. And he said, look, the Lord himself will change this my vile body, yeah, until it be fashioned like his glorious body. From glory to glory, he's changing me. Changing me into the glory of God and his son. He's changing me. He's changing me. Hallelujah. You know, and then he's doing it by the walking wherein he's able to subdue all things unto himself. Powerful stuff. Philippians chapter 4, the next chapter. Let's read, you know, a couple of verses real quickly. And again, you know, he's saying the same kind of things. So look, I can do all things which Christ, through Christ, has strengthened me. But here's how he started. He said, look, I do not speak in respect of want, verse 11 of Philippians 4. For I have learned, whatever state I am, that we to be content. But, you know, sometimes when I'm at base, sometimes when I'm on top, sometimes when I'm down, whichever way it is, I have learned and I'm instructed both how to be full and how to be hungry. You know, suffer and then abound. I can do all things. Can you do all things? Through Christ that strengthens you? Well, that's Paul's testimony. Is it your testimony, ladies and gentlemen, that you are able to do all things through Christ? Can you do it? Well, absolutely. You know, Paul could do it, so could you. You know, your testimony can be, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I'm going to go forward. I'm not going to sit in one place. I'm going to keep on moving forward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, in a few more verses, I want to finish this quickly. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, you know, chapter 4 and verse 13. You know, it's a chapter of hope, you know, and we should not forget the things that the Lord has promised. It's a chapter of hope. And God will bring hope. We talked about sorrow the other day and so forth. You know, so this one again, you know, trusting in the Lord that we will see our loved ones again. I don't know why I put the scripture there, but you know, let me read. This is the one that I want to read. I'm gonna jump, skip that one. I want to read Revelation. That's the one I want to read. Revelation 3. Just going to read this one verse. I'm going to round this up and I'm going to pray. Praise the Lord. Revelation 3. You know, in this book of Revelation, the Lord commanded John to write to the seven churches. And he wrote many things. And here's one, you know, that he wrote, you know, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is Revelation 3:7. These things saith he that is holy and he that is true, that had the key of David, that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Now, when the Lord opens the door before you and tells you to go through, you better go through. I have set before you an open door. So don't be discouraged and say that the heavens are brass. There is no way, you know, and so forth. Lord said, no, I have set before you an open door that you may go through and go in and possess your possessions. Praise the Lord. It is time, you know, for us to emerge. It is time for us to even, you know, experience the Lord in more ways than we have experienced before. But we got to make up our mind, you know, that we will move forward. Praise the Lord. We got to move forward. Hallelujah. You know, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, saith the Lord. Obadiah 1:17. And there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. And they will take the house of Esau for stubble. Huh. Kindle them, devour them, burn them. Hallelujah. You know, but the Lord said, the house of Jacob, the house of Israel, the house of Joseph, they shall possess their possessions. That's you. There is a possession that God has put in your hand. And it's a promise, a word of promise that he gave. Starting last year, I said, you will emerge and you go forward. And this year, I come in and top it and say, you will experience a quantum leap. But you got to step out. Praise God. You got to take the first step and then the next step and so forth. And before you know it, the winds of the Spirit will come and carry you and catapult you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I am going to pray over the room. I want to leave it there. I want to leave more room for discussion, so I don't want to talk too long. But let me summarize what we have done in today's series. I mean, today's lesson as part of this series is for us to look at stagnation and, you know, these things that just, you know, cause us to be stagnant. One of them being slumbering. You know, even spiritual things, people slumber. Matthew 25 talks of the story of the 10 virgins. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. However, some of them had made preparation and they were ready. Hallelujah. So let's not, you know, let even physical slumber, you know, let it not delay and prevent us from moving forward. And then there's spiritual slumbering, you know, what Paul talks about in Ephesians 5:14. But let's awake. Let's arise from spiritual deadness. Let's move forward in the Lord. And all the things around us, you know, roll up your sleeves, get in it, do as the Lord instructs you. Do not fold your arms. Get out there and do what the Lord is showing you. And you, the Lord will give you the victory. He will give you the wisdom, the grace, the understanding of how to increase more and more. Right, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. And I pray as we have studied this lesson, many scriptures on stagnation and slumbering. But you gave us a word to emerge and to go forward. Now, we leave behind the spirit of slumber in the name of Jesus. I leave behind the spirit of stagnation. We come against that in the lives of the people here. Procrastination and different negative things. And that snail spirit that makes people to go slow and go nowhere. We break that in the name of Jesus. And let the people make their feet like hinds' feet in Jesus' name. Give them the wings of an eagle, you know, that they may fly. And so are high in the name of the Lord Jesus. We shed all those garments of laziness, slothfulness, procrastination, and all of that. We shed them behind us in Jesus' name. Get thee behind me, Satan, Jesus said. And so when that slothfulness and that laziness and that feeling of despondency and not wanting to go forward comes, you tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. And you get up and go. Praise the name of the Lord. And if you go, the Lord said, as thou goest, I will go before you. Hallelujah. Thy strength shall not be straightened. Hallelujah. You will not stumble. I will keep you in thy way, even as thou goest. Praise the Lord. And I will even send my angel before you to guide you in your way. And I will give you rest and peace. And I will give you strategy. I will give you understanding in Jesus' name. That be our portion. Hallelujah. And now, let there be a reversal of situation in Jesus' name. Situations that have been stagnant, let there be a moving Let the angel of the Lord come in there. Stir things up. Shake things up. Even by this message. Shake things up in Jesus' name. And let there be an understanding in the heart of the people to lift up their heads and see what the Lord has promised. And enter into that promise in Jesus' name. And all ye gates, I command you to be opened up for the people of God to pass through. Hallelujah. Open ye the gates that the righteous people may enter in the name of Jesus. Let there be a blessing poured out upon the lives of your people, you know, and then let us rejoice in it and give glory and praise to the Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.